who has feathers, smokes a cigar, and carries the fate of the world on his shoulders. His name is Howard the Duck.
We're back.
How about that?
Really? I'm bummed out.
Why, man? What happened?
The great Steve Gerber passed away last week.
I'm sorry to hear that. I know you were a big fan of Steve Gerber.
I was actually dreading that you were going to say something like, who the fuck is Steve Gerber, and I would have to hang up on you.
No, I know who Steve Gerber is. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, when we first got into comics, I think that was the first set of influences way back in high school. You had shown me some Steve Gerber. It impressed me.
Steve Gerber, of course, will always be remembered primarily as the creator of Howard the Duck, easily one of the best comics characters of all time.
That's pretty wild. As far as short, 3-foot-high heroes go, not a bad character.
I like him myself, of course, because he's a curmudgeon, but mostly because he speaks the truth, even though, like, say, nobody wants to hear it. And therefore, they don't listen to Podcast X. Oh, wait, was I talking about me or Howard?
I don't know. But since Howard's autobiographical for Steve Gerber, if you get autobiographical on me, my head's going to start to hurt.
Yeah, I always assumed that Howard was just sort of Steve Gerber's voice box anyway, in terms of comics.
I think Mark Evanier on his blog, I think he said something along the same lines.
Well, we're looking at
No. I was just gonna throw a little bit more out there. I think you and I, when we first started talking about comics, I think we established like the whole lunchroom common denominator. We started talking about Defenders, and
what
the
a
Headmen.
great book.
So this guy's out there, but like out there for a reason. And I think he always represents the underdog, and I think he has a lot of interesting things to say, but he doesn't like hit you over the head with it. Which I think is pretty cool.
There are times he will hit you over the head.
Oh, does he?
That's what he has to. But it's always entertaining.
Well, in this particular comic, I think that you picked. I don't think he's at all subtle, but I think it's some good messages. But I think it's a good representation. I think it's a good job.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, well, now we just have to interrupt everything to like do a Steve Gerber show, and it's like, damn, what comic do I like pick here? I pretty much knew I was going to use Howard the Duck because the only comic that was arguably more personal, a work for Gerber, was Omega the Unknown. But part of that was I didn't want to have to explain to you the whole Omega thing. And everybody can get right into Howard the Duck. It's really accessible. And I was like, damn, what issue do I pick? And I'm like, there's issue 10, which was the one where Howard has a nervous breakdown. And the story was like incredibly dark. And I'm like, this could work. Or, of course, then there's Howard the Duck 14, which, in addition to having the Son of Satan, who's always cool. Oh, by the way, the Son of Satan's dark soul possesses Howard, and Howard becomes the Son of Satan. And then he uses his satanic powers to torture Beverly. Beverly being the human chick Howard fucks in his spare time. But because that ends on a very poignant note, and I'm like, okay, that could work. Then there's Howard the Duck 16, which I might have gone with, except it's already well after midnight as we're recording this. That was the one I told you about that was like all illustrated essays by Gerber.
We wouldn't have time for that.
That would have been perfect, but yeah. Then there's 19. Then there's 19. Howard the Human. Which is self-explanatory. You read that, I think.
I would have gone with that, sure.
Yep.
I would have been a good alternate for this.
Because, of course, ultimately I went with this one, though.
Because?
Because I am Trenchcoat Mafia, and it is my will that we review Howard the Duck Volume 1, Issue 3.
Okay, you've been using that excuse for a long time now.
Excuse?
That power may work on other hosts.
No. My will be done.
Why did you pick this again?
Oh, see.
No, it's fine.
Because this is a one-part story without any continuing threads, and we can just address this story without having to address prior or post issues of HTD. And it, like a lot of Gerber's stuff, it both has something to say, and yet is poignant and sad at the same time, and also quite frequently ridiculous.
Yeah,
a Gerber hallmark.
This is when he does hit you over the head a little bit with some of the points, but I'm okay with it, so I give him a pass. I liked it for a one shot; it's great. So, you want to just dive right in?
Yeah, Master of Quack Fu is the title. Here he is on the cover, Howard. He's got Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu's costume on. Except, of course, he has a cigar in his mouth because he's Howard the Duck and he always has a cigar. And he's, like, kicking much ass here, doing, like, Kung Fu on these bad guys.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And look at the sensei observing everything up there. He's, like, all yellow. I don't know if that's racist or not.
Yeah, a little racist.
Because they did give him the Fu Manchu goatee as well. So
I'm going to talk to you about the illustrations when we get into this a little bit.
That was the only factor that wasn't in this book's favor, is that Gene Colan didn't draw this issue.
Yeah, this John Buscema.
Oh, I like him. I like John Buscema's art. It's just that he's no Gene Colan when it comes to Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck and Gene Colan were just made for each other.
Okay.
Yeah, but Buscema's good for this. Buscema likes drawing, like, or he, is he dead? Yeah, I think he's dead. And unlike Steve Gerber, I won't especially mourn John Buscema, because after all, he was but a lowly artist. And
is anybody that worked on this book still alive?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Steve Lalo is still alive. He was the tracer. Marv Wolfman definitely is. By the way, Marv Wolfman, creator of the new Teen Titans. And I know you hate the Teen Titans Go cartoon, so I had to mention that.
Thanks.
yeah, the story begins. Oh, here's the actual title: Four Feathers of Death.
Well, you remember this was Kung Fu Age. I mean,
Enter the Duck.
Mid-70s, everybody was doing Kung Fu, so it was only a matter of time before Howard the Duck addressed the Kung Fu issue. And you don't remember everybody was Kung Fuing each other at the time? Everybody was chopping at each other, and it was a whole thing.
Yes, it was actually, I was never one of these people to watch the Kung Fu movies that used to come on the weekend. I mean, now that I know that some of them were really over the top, sure. Like, I don't remember the title of this one. There was one with, like, chicks. Oh, I guess this is the first tangent of the show. There was one with chicks who did Kung Fu, and, like, the bad guy was training gorillas in Kung Fu to fight them.
That's cool. I missed that.
Yes, he said, shit like that is awesome, and if more Kung Fu movies were that over the top, then I'd be more into them.
It's funny.
Monkey Fu, yeah.
Monkey Fu, man.
Well, Howard has just taken Beverly to see this Kung Fu movie, and Beverly is happily munching on her popcorn. That's probably, like, really buttered and is going to go right to her hips, and she should be careful with that. But Howard's all grouchy, as he so often is.
You know, you just chastised a cartoon character for eating fucking popcorn. Come on, they never gain any weight. It's a comic. Anyway, yeah, look at him. Look at him, how pompous he is. Like, what's his problem? Okay, so somebody's tongue got ripped out. So what? So what? It's a fucking
He's
martial
a curmudgeon. Everything pisses him off.
And, you know, she's got to calm him down. Geez, Howard, it's only a movie.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a tank girl got fat at one point, so there, F you. I had to defend my thing about cartoon chicks watching what they eat.
Well, when you review that with a guest host, you can speak to that.
Yeah, I know you don't like comics with female leads for some reason, unless they're green. And
what?
Unless they're green and 7 feet tall, then you're okay with female leads.
And comic relief.
Oh.
She-Hulk is comic relief.
Okay, now see, Beverly's not so much comic relief as she's not terribly bright.
No. Well, she's the foil.
Well, that's why her and Howard are a perfect couple. Yeah, I mean, he's got the brains, she's got the pussy.
Yeah, he's George, she's Gracie. It works, it's fine. I don't have any problem with this.
So you're not... now see, feminists might be offended by Beverly.
Tough.
Thank you.
She serves a
That's so good to hear. Oh, yes, she serves a purpose. Yes, she is Howard's semen receptacle.
Well, I don't see much in the way of...
You don't get that until the black and white Howard magazine that wasn't beholden to the comics code.
Did they really actually fuck in the black and white? Are you kidding me?
Not only did they fuck, but there's
go ahead.
There's actually a panel where she's like, come on, ducky. Shut up and fuck me, will you? And like her tits are all out. It's awesome. Okay, actually, Steve Gerber did not write that issue, but I don't care.
That's like Podcast X After Dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
after midnight, and yeah.
I can't believe fucking Steve Gerber's dead.
Yeah, that really does suck. It's a little nice piece of the world that's gone.
This is the worst comics-related death news since Jack Kirby died.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Not being part of the – I mean, I recognize how interesting and cool stuff was. He didn't seem to be very prolific. I mean, he was so busy fighting Marvel all those years that he didn't have a chance to do very much. But
oh, no. When he was – actually, he did do work in the 80s, including a series he did with Steve Gerber, Destroyer Duck, after Steve Gerber lost Howard the Duck to Marvel.
Right.
Yeah, Destroyer Duck basically would kill everybody who worked for God Corps, which was – pretty much Marvel Comics.
Was Destroyer Duck wasn't that like something to help him with his legal bills or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Clearly you have read tomes of knowledge or gone to Wikipedia.com.
I may have known that.
But Destroyer Duck was cool because like he had guns and killed people, but he was no Howard the Duck.
Gotcha.
Yeah, anyway, like Howard's bitching as he always is. Beverly is like, oh, Howard, like she always is. And this dude comes out of nowhere. Hee-yah! And like just for no reason. He's coming out of the movie. He's all like
70s comic. Look at this. Make room for the true brother of the Panther.
Well, that is what he says. And yeah, Howard's like, what the fuck, kid? And this is great because somebody would always say this in almost every Howard story. You're a duck! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we can see that. He's a duck. His rejoinder to the kid is, and you're the poor man, Sonny Chiba, so what? So the kid's like freaked out because, you know, Howard's a duck and he's talking to him. And Howard's still yelling at him as he's lighting his cigar. And Beverly's like, wow. That's all she has to say.
She's kind of doofus.
She really is. And she's so turned on that Howard is wise and has much to impart to us hairless apes. Yeah, and Steve Gerber had much to impart to us hairless apes, and good for him for creating a talking duck to be his mouthpiece so we would pay attention.
Right.
I mean, of course, I'm going to take a cartoon duck more seriously than a human being.
I think you would.
What? Why, yeah, who wouldn't? Come on.
You were destined to create the most evil podcast on the planet after having, like, read this.
Yeah,
Didn't your mom ever give you, like, I don't know, like a Batman or an Iron Man? You read this?
Howard was my role model, definitely. And a good role model he is. Look at him. He's like, still ranting for panel after panel.
No. Let's not. Let's get to the whole Trenchcoat Mafia formative years for a minute. So no Rock'em Sock'em Robots. No Twister. No.
No, those were things rich kids had.
How about like a deck of cards, maybe? I don't know.
I might have had a deck of cards, but I can't shuffle cards, so, I mean, I wouldn't even play solitaire. Nah, it's like, what's the point?
You're going to the comic book store. Everybody else is buying Iron Man. You're buying Howard the Duck. You go home. You read this.
Yeah.
And what happens?
What? Well, should I have read more Iron Man instead and grown up to become a Nazi? Like Tony Stark?
Employed.
What? Okay. I said a Nazi.
Sorry. Look, Iron Man has not always been a Nazi. You know what would really be good? You know what really would be good? You know why I'm disappointed in the loss of Steve Gerber? Because you know who really has to walk up to Tony Stark right now and say, you are a fucking Nazi asshole, prick bastard?
Howard the Duck. Yeah, sadly, I think Howard was actually, this ties back to this comic. He went to register. He sold us out. Because Howard has, he does know quack foo, so in effect, that's a superpower.
No.
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
Are you fucking with me?
No, that really happened.
So this is the origin of quack foo, as we'll see later. I hope there's no spoilers for the So this is the origin of Quack Fu, where he gets his Quack Fu.
Well, that was on the cover, so yeah.
And you're telling me that 40 fucking years, well, however many years later, 30 years later, he has to register the stupid power?
Yes.
And you're not making this up?
No, no. And by the way, that is an error on the creator's, on the non-Gerber creator's part.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, in a future letters page, somebody said, hey, how is this dude able to rough up Howard the Duck? Doesn't he know Quack Fu? Which, of course, he's going to learn in this comic. We know from the cover. And the in the letters page, the guy was like, look, come on, it's Quack Fu. How useful is it really? And now, of course, in 2008, apparently, they are trying to make it into being very useful indeed.
So he has to register it, sure.
So, right. I think there was a good line in the comic. By the way, I didn't read that, which was like, sure, all Tony Stark wants us to do is line up. All the government wants us to do is line up single file. Because as long as we're in single file, we can't rush them.
One good line. I hate the Civil War. I hate it all. God help me. Tell me when I can come back to Marvel, will you, please?
Probably never.
Okay. All right. Let's stay with old Marvel then, which is somewhat reassuring.
Hey, look, they're in like an Archie Comics style malt shop.
How about that?
Cool.
And still everybody's doing a little kung fu. Everybody's doing kung fu fighting here.
Yeah, Marvel had jumped in on this trend as it was dying. I guess it died out in the early 70s, and they had a lot of kung fu-related comics that they came out with. The only character that really stuck from all of that was Iron Fist, who even you probably know.
Yeah, sure, he did that Luke Cage Iron Fist.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember all that.
I noticed they had to team him up with Luke Cage because both the kung fu trend and the blaxploitation trends had died by that point.
So I get it. So Marvel resurrects two bad trends. Two.
Well, I guess they figured if they merged them, maybe they could get some more life out of the characters, which they did.
Two shameful things put together.
Well, I like both those characters. What's your problem?
It's like Marvel's evil Twix bar or something.
Their Twix bar of shame.
We we've already dealt with Luke Cage. Iron Fist, yeah, he's pretty racist, too.
He's white.
I know.
Oh, that's what's racist?
I don't know. It's all fucked
up. Wait. So you're saying that the new Karate Kid that Mark Waid made up, who's Asian, is less offensive because he's a Karate Kid who is Asian than the old one who was only half Asian? Wait, now I'm confused.
I think the Asians would be upset that a white guy is such a good kung fu artist.
Ooh, you know what?
So that's like double racism. And besides, his skull cap that he wears, it's got the slanting eyes. And
okay, Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter, the yeah. DC character.
Go ahead.
They retconned him into like the best martial artist in the DC universe who taught Batman how to do martial arts.
Wow.
But he's not Asian. What else? Oh, yeah, you reminded me of this too. Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. When they came up with him, he was originally supposed to be an Asian character. And, like, Stan Lee's like, no. You have to make him at least half white. I shit you not.
Why? What?
Well, so white people will buy the book.
This is the shit that bugs me. All the decisions wrong.
Well, Stan Lee came out of the same era as Will Eisner, enough said.
Will Eisner did a lot of good things right, and black people, he done them wrong. And that at least we can agree on.
I'm thinking there was like a Spirit comic compilation that was like all Ebony stories. We got to review that sometime. That may be the most vile comic ever published.
Well, what's ironic about Will Eisner is he did so much good for the industry, and he did so much good for the young writers, and he had a sense Bob Kane sucked, he knew that. Why this blind spot when he came to dealing with black people? I don't get. I just don't get it. I mean, you could say it was the time.
Ah, no, I hate that.
But you know what? He was a progressive guy and he should have known better.
Beverly looks really hot here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that for no particular reason. But yeah. Oh, look. Now, like, the dude who was accosting Howard and Beverly just came flying through the window all bloody. Because this caveman-looking dude just threw him through the window. I like this dialogue. Try to help him, and you too will be maimed, crippled, or disfigured by Count Macho.
Yeah, that's really, really comic book dialogue.
I love it.
For a reason.
See, this is the sort of thing I think annoys you about comics, especially old comics. But don't you see how great that is?
Well...
It's there's a sense of fun here that this is a comic and it's all over the top. And can't you just enjoy this stuff?
Is there Iron Man in it? I'm sorry. No, it's a little corny, but I'm okay with it. It's just, in the sense of the comic, sure. I mean, you got a fucking talking duck. So, yeah, he looks like a Kirby. Look at the big flat face and the angular features. This is a Kirby face, a little bit.
Yeah, he totally looks. Well, he looks
this
like
is a
he
Kirby
should.
Face.
He should be living in a cave.
Yeah. This is a Kirby. This is a Kirby character.
And he just throws Howard the Duck aside, and then he's about to like hit Beverly, but instead he like puts his boot in the back of the kid's head. Awesome.
And she does stick up for him, which is cool. So, you know, why don't you pick on someone your own size? What's up with you? You know, you big pussy.
And, now see, I have to disagree with what Steve Gerber is implying here, which I suppose is that violence in the media creates violence in real life because he knows better. And he sort of wound up railing against people who really do believe that and censor cartoons and such because they believe that in the 80s. When Gerber was doing, like, G.I. Joe and stuff, the cartoon.
And Thundar and whatever else.
Well, yeah, he couldn't even have this level of violence. Because, yeah, the Blue Noses were like, oh, no, no. We can never show violence, not to kids. And it's like, what? So I think Gerber experienced a reversal in his thinking at that point. Because here he sort of seems to be saying, yeah, if you have all this violence in the media, you're going to have violence in real life, which, of course, is total bullshit.
I think basically what he's saying is if you go watch a movie where people's tongues get ripped out, that's probably when you start attacking other people.
Well, see,
I think that's the line.
Well,
look, Steve Gerber basically says the line is if your tongue gets ripped out. Because, by the way, I watched Ookla the Mock, and I liked Ookla the Mock, whatever the hell show that was.
And I
never saw any of that shit happening.
Ookla, because he couldn't show that if he wanted to. But notice that Ookla had to have suction cup arrows, like a toy.
I forgot about that. Son of a bitch, you're right.
Once you start down the slippery slope of censorship, that's inevitably what happens.
Isn't that a band name? Ookla the Mock? Aren't they a band?
I think so. And you know, if it isn't, it should be.
Yeah. So he shot suction cups. You know what's funny about that? Despite the fact that that's a pussy thing to do, that show actually kind of worked. I don't know why.
Well, because Kirby was involved.
Yeah, it was like an alternative post-apocalyptic future.
Well, Jack Kirby plus Steve Gerber. I mean, you've just got so much talent there that, you know, please.
Okay.
Wow. Go ahead.
I'm going to stop you for a minute. Was Jack Kirby involved in any other animation, or was that pretty much it?
Oh, let me think. He did the storyboards for the Fantastic Four cartoon with Herbie the Robot.
Oh. Sorry.
He wound up returning to do comics in the 80s. If you remember the Superpowers toys, there was a tie-in comic that Jack Kirby drew.
Hmm.
Yeah, not Kirby's best work, but a lot of the stuff he did for the Independents, like Captain Victory and his Galactic Rangers, and he did some interesting stuff. Captain Victory is the book that had, in one issue, Paranex, the Fighting Fetus.
You're kidding me. The Fighting Fetus?
Are you mocking Paranex, the Fighting Fetus?
That's a Jack Kirby character?
Wait, you are. You are, aren't you? You're mocking Paranex.
I'm not mocking. No. Far be it. No. Far be me. A lowly guest podcaster to say anything negative about Jack Kirby. I could flame from here to goddamn I don't know what. The Fighting Fetus, huh?
Yeah, he was a Fighting Fetus.
Well, it's alliterative anyway. It sounds good.
You would think like the pro-life movement would like draft Paranex to like use as their figurehead.
Now, using the logic of if you read it, therefore you act it out. If you read about a fighting fetus, what happens to you as a comic book fan?
Oh, you go insane.
Okay, all right, just checking.
Yeah. So,
or you start a comic book podcast?
Sure.
I'm going to keep coming.
What are you implying?
Oh, nothing. All right, so now we see the guy kicking him over the head with a runk sound effect. That's where I am. Are you in the next page?
I'm on the page where his henchmen... Because, of course, anyone who calls himself Count Macho is going to have red shirts. Yeah, and, oh, man, look how hot this chick is here.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Mm.
Yeah.
John Buscema could draw some, like, hot chicks.
I do like the way these 70s chicks looked, you know, always with the long hair, swoop back. Yeah, this is great, man.
Yeah, this was before all women became lesbians and cut their hair.
Yeah, yeah. I like it with long hair, the bangles. And,
okay, well, now everybody's fighting, except for Flo, the waitress here, hiding behind the counter. But, yeah, and this is really well written, and we don't even have captions anymore. But this whole thing where Gerber is explaining the fight as a living entity and that it's expanding and contracting, and it's just, you don't get this anymore from comic book writing.
Yeah. Speechless, the duck gapes at what seems like a wall of baldy bodies.
Baldy.
A monolithic mass of flesh that expands, contracts, expands.
And then there's a knife, and then the kid is stabbed.
Yeah.
He falls to the counter, clutching at, but it can't be, a hole in his body? Okay, now I love Gerber's style of I am Steve Gerber, and this is my narration, but I would assume that that would annoy you.
It does annoy me, but you know what? It's a style, and it's definitely standout. You don't see this shit any. As a matter of fact, I think we were talking in the last podcast, four podcasts ago, about, you know, thought balloons and narrative and all that stuff.
Yes.
So I'm noticing that this is very, very, this is unique.
And interestingly, I don't think there are any thought balloons in this comic.
No.
But there's lots of narration, though.
Yes, there is.
The fight creature mm-hmm. dissolves in panic. Its limbs detach and go their separate ways. I can't believe he only got, what did that one thing say on that one website? Gerber got paid like $13 a page when he started out.
Unbelievable.
So anyway, Howard tries to stop Count Macho from leaving, and Count Macho kicks his ass. Poor Howard.
Yeah, I like Count Macho. Always hits with a hi. We are. The fuck? I don't remember. Never mind.
And this is great here, this whole page, where, of course, the crowd is, like, panicking, and they don't know what to do, and Dopey Beverly is the only one with the presence of mind and common sense to actually call for an ambulance.
Right.
And only then does she panic that she doesn't see Howard. She's not completely useless here.
Yeah, and then he comes up and, he comes up and gives her a huge hug. And he immediately pushes her out of the way. But wait a minute. He says, if you could help, would you?
Yeah, Howard is an alpha duck. He is very take charge.
Yeah. I like how he just storms through the legs of the people.
Danger is my business. Hey, good for you, Howard.
Why does he calls her toots?
Toots.
Toots?
Toots.
Toots.
Because Howard talks, you know, he talks almost like Joe Quesada's dead father. You know, I just picture Howard as being very gruff. And he's, don't worry, toots. Danger is my business.
Toots? Who the fuck says toots, man?
Hey, man, he's an old school duck.
Fucking walking anachronism.
He's like, right. We're reading a comic from the 70s about a duck that talks like he's out of the 40s.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because you know what? But Howard is like he's out of the 40s. He's got no time for all of this new age, contemporary, feminist, politically correct.
Sensitive.
Overly, incredibly sensitive, never hurt anybody's feelings, fucking bullshit. He is, like myself, a champion of truth. So anyway,
he has a hot girlfriend.
What are you saying about Vixen? Not that she's my girlfriend, because she's married.
Now
you're stuck.
Are you going to put a lot of asterisks there? Not because she's this. Not because she's okay. Never mind. We'll just keep moving along. I'll trap you into fessing up about Vixen one of these days. I swear to God.
Never. Well, we always say every time, and we're just kidding in case Mr. Vixen's listening.
Oh, sure.
And by the way, just for the record, I'm kidding, just in case Mr. Vixen's listening. So moving on.
I'm looking at Beverly Hill. Wasn't one of the Mrs. Trekkies, wasn't she a redhead? I don't seem to remember so long ago.
Oh! Yeah, was she the very first
She was the first Mrs. Trekkie.
Since you have a whole chain of, you know, failed marriages to various Mrs. Trekkies behind you. Yes, that's right. The heavily freckled one was indeed a redhead. Yeah.
Anyway,
she was about this smart, too.
Yeah. Actually.
Ooh. Yeah. I thought you. I was like, oh, okay, well, you're fessing up.
That's fine. That's fine. But, you know, as I look back on them, it's more like a movie and its sequels. I look at it that way rather than failed Trekkie experiment.
You ended that marriage when her parents gave you a dog?
A golden retriever.
Wow.
Yeah, I could commit to the marriage, but not to the dog.
I would agree that a dog is one commitment too many.
Much like a marriage after year two.
Now, if they had given you a talking duck,
I would have kept it.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Whoa.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Them cats was fast as lightning. The fighter was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. They were funky Chinamen in funky Chinatown. They were chopping men up, they were chopping men down. It's an ancient Chinese art. Everybody knew their part. From a faint down to a slip and a kicking from the hip. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There was Funky Billy Chin and Little Sammy Chong. They said, here come the big boss, let's get it on. He took a bow and made a stand, started swinging from the hand. Sudden motion made me skip. Now we're into a brand new trip. Everybody was kung fu fighting. And they called for expert timing. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. Those cats was fast as lightning. Whoa. Were fast as lightning. Skiddly bop, skiddly bop, skiddly bop. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. But everybody was kung fu fighting. And it was a little bit frightening. They called for expert timing. There's something or other with the things.
This is great. This is great. He's here to the mob, to the crowd. Come on, be good sheep. Back. That's classic.
I like the guy who used to basically say, hey, fuck you, man. Who made you the general?
He's got a point, but still.
We're not going to take orders from a midget in a duck suit. See, that's everybody thinks he's a midget in a duck suit.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, sure.
See? And, okay, well, this is good. Never mind
that they exist in a universe. Now, I'm assuming that they know about the other superheroes in the universe.
Okay, so right. There's people who can fire rays with their hands. They're not talking ducks.
That's amazing to me. Okay. You've got a fucking walking rock creature in the thing.
He's not a duck.
It's amazing. Okay.
So anyway.
I guess that's, you know what? That's part of the charm of this. That despite in a world of fucking full of superheroes, nobody takes him seriously. You know, I could get it if he was in our world and nobody would take him seriously.
Yeah, the fact that he's
full of superheroes, people that are like fly around on fire. One guy can stretch himself into a goddamn whatever.
Oh, you know, right? You know what was good was as the series went on, you always had the "you're a duck." He became increasingly bitter and angry as the book kept going, and like I remember one comeback like this bitch is like, "you're a duck." And he's like, "Yeah, well, if not her for heredity, I might be an eggplant."
It's not bad.
That's fuck Jim Shooter for like driving Gerber away from Marvel. I mean, and canceling this book. And you know, it gets worse. Adding insult to injury, do you know who he replaced Steve Gerber with after he drove him after he fired Steve Gerber from Howard the Duck?
No.
Bill Mantlo.
No.
Bill Mantlo.
No.
One of the worst writers of all time.
That's basically him just whipping it out and pissing on Jim and pissing on Steve Gerber. That's all that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
I am actually going to go out and find the worst writer possible to replace you in your creation.
And
that's hard.
Although Mantlo did write the fuck scene between Howard and Beverly, Steve Gerber came out against that scene and is like, first of all, I wouldn't show that, which is very classy that he wants to, you know, maintain that like air of are they or aren't they. By the way, they are. Come on. But still, he was like,
we actually praised that scene earlier. So
I did. Well, I have to admit, but still,
before you rail on him too much, I'm going to remind you that we liked it.
Well, Steve Gerber does have an image in a later issue with Howard and Beverly together in a bathtub naked.
Okay, that's cute.
However, that was a spliced image by Howard's political opponents. Because, of course, Howard was running for president.
He's bitching and moaning he doesn't get any respect, but he runs for president.
Yes. Well, he's sort of almost drafted, really, by the All-Night Party.
Does he ever, like, in his own magazine, does he ever show – do other superheroes ever show up?
Spider-Man showed up in issue one.
Okay.
And, of course, you'll recall from back in the day, because I know you read this one, he does team up with the Defenders.
I should remember that. I don't. It's not at the top of my mind. But you know what? To honor Steve Gerber this week, I think I'm going to go read that.
That was a fun story. It's great because Nighthawk, the guy who dresses like a bird, is the one to say you're a duck. And of course, Howard's trying to respond, but he can't because Howard's so busy laughing at him. Because he's a hairless ape, but he's dressed like a bird.
And besides, nobody respects Nighthawk anyway, so that's double. That's fine.
Bill Mantlo ruined one thing. Howard is supposed to come from a world of like all kinds of funny animals. And Mantlo tried to say that he came from Duck World. And there's only ducks there. But no. There's an issue that Gerber wrote where Howard's like trying to blame somebody for something. And he's like, it was probably a chicken. I never did trust the chickens.
That's not bad.
I like that the ducks and chickens wouldn't get along.
Sure. Because you know what? The funny thing about that is there's always a they. There's always, you know what? You two are fucking birds, but there's still always a they.
So you're saying, you're saying there's always a pecking order? So anyway, the ambulance comes, takes the kid away, and Howard has left Beverly to have a maudlin vigil at the hospital because Beverly actually cares if this kid lives or dies because she's so stupid and compassionate. Those two things usually do go together, like low intelligence and compassion. And you'll notice, for example, I myself, Team Mafia, have no compassion. So what does that tell you? And Howard...
it tells me that you should have played with Iron. You should have gotten some Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And
Red Iron Man.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, actually, Iron Man was very, very poor during this time of Marvel Comics history.
It doesn't really matter. Did he kill bad guys? Did he drink?
No. He wasn't drinking yet. He didn't kill anybody if he could help, because he was a wimp, and the bad guys would always kick his ass.
Oh, well, that sucks all over.
Well, yes.
That sucks like three ways.
It's kind of my point.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then you had they tried to saddle him with Jack of Hearts as a sidekick, and they tied him to – they had him fucking the ugliest woman in the world, Madame Mask, who's like hideously scarred like Dr. Doom. Oh, yeah. By the way, guess who wrote all this?
Bill Mantlow.
There you go.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
Wow.
See how it all ties together.
Yeah, it's like the seven circles of whatever.
Oh, Howard has just wandered into an adult bookstore.
You mean the Matt? What?
In a Comics Code approved comic.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By the way, it's also a gay bookstore because the name of it is the Lavender Flamingo.
It's for the discriminating adult bibliophile.
Yes, it says that on the sign above the window here. And notice the logo with the Lavender Flamingo winking at the customer.
Yeah. Well, perfect for the bird who has everything. Look at how these horny guys in the creepy bookshop. You don't see that in a comic every day.
Yeah, look at this one dude, man.
You too can grow.
Yeah, it actually says that. This is a code-approved book.
Oh, yeah, it says no browsing. Because, of course, you don't want the perverted ducks to hang out in the... Jesus Christ.
All right.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to give Trenchcoat Mafia a pass. Because this is actually a pretty cool thing for you to be reading. I'm going to give you a pass. I ain't calling child services on your parents. This is actually okay.
Oh, well, I'm glad you give my younger self a pass for reading.
I was a little worried there for a minute, but you're okay now. You know what I want to do? You know what I want to do?
Well, while you were reading Robert Heinlein, fascist, nobody should be allowed to have any rights unless they join the military books.
I believe I was reading Stranger in Strange Land at that point. But anyway.
It's all fascist. He's Heinlein. He's...
What? Excuse me?
Heinlein is somebody who deserves to be dead. I am glad he is dead.
Nothing to do with fascism and everything to do with making fun of religion. But
I am sure that his fascist beliefs somehow shone through in that horrible excuse for a book that I've never read, nor will I ever.
You mean libertarian?
I've said this before, and I'll say it. All right, well, you're baiting me, so I'll ignore you. Okay. Why do they have Kung Fu magazines in an adult bookstore?
Because they always have Kung Fu magazines in an adult bookstore.
How do you know that? Uh-huh.
No, I have no idea. I guess it's just a creepy vibe.
Well, yeah. He finds Howard, actually feels compelled to look through the Deadly Feet of Kung Fu, which, by the way, Marvel had a Kung Fu magazine comic called Deadly Hands of Kung Fu.
Sure.
So there you go. And
sold in adult bookshops, apparently.
I guess. He comes across an ad in the magazine, Secrets of Kung Fu Revealed. And he's like, oh, I should go learn, just out of nowhere. But mainly because Gerber only has 17 pages to tell this story. I should go learn Kung Fu, and then I can kick Count Macho's ass. Okay. And this is good. This is good. He's funny. I've got the spookiest feeling. I've walked in a circle. And he's thinking, except for the sign, because from the outside, it does look just like the dirty bookstore.
Uh-huh.
And Howard walks in expecting to see a gym. But no, it looks like an opium den is what it looks like.
I like that he says that everything in Cleveland looks the same.
Ah, Cleveland.
So what's up with Cleveland? Now, what other is it Harvey Pekar is also based in Cleveland?
Yeah, it's funny because Harvey Pekar sort of is Howard the Duck.
That's where I was going with all this. That what's up with Cleveland?
And interestingly, I think the first American Splendor debuted circa 1976.
How about that?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's like the that's like the hellmouth of America, where all the strange and wonderful comics writers go.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, that was the city to bust on back in the day. I suppose it's Philadelphia now, and who can blame anybody? But, I would read a Howard the Duck comic written by Harvey Pekar.
you know, don't have some civic pride. Not only did our podcast start in Philadelphia, but I believe our knockoff podcast also started in Philadelphia.
Okay, so have some pride. Okay, so you called it that. I didn't, just for the record.
Have some pride.
There must be something in the water.
I know.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, opium den. Right. And then we cut to Beverly being told that the kid died. She's bummed out and crying. And laying in wait for her in the bushes are Count Macho's henchmen, who have gotten hold of her now and have her gagged and helpless.
Your mind went to rape too? Because I looked at this.
That panel and come on.
Okay, yeah, I said rape. But look at her. She looks fearful. And these guys look and her boobs are popping out.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm sorry. I have to go Starhawk on this page.
Off panel. Yeah, you can probably safely assume that they did gang rape her.
Yeah.
Because look at their faces. They're up for a good time.
A moment passes before her brain interprets and informs her of the tactile sensation, the steely cold clamp of their fingers.
Mm. Beverly is fearful, but also excited. She thinks to herself, why am I turned on? My God, this is making me wet. I'm a bad girl. A bad, naughty girl. She thinks to herself, she needs to be punished. Are these the men to punish her? Why, yes, she thinks to herself, it's what I deserve. None of that is on the page, but it should be. And then we cut back to Howard in the opium den. Hey, remember Talons of Wang Chiang?
The Doctor Who episode?
Yeah, you tried to say that was racist and it wasn't.
It was, yes it was. It was a very racist. It was a terrible...
I am appalled by that, what you just did just there.
Because although a Mr. Khan is not racist, my impression of a Chinaman is a clearly racist, because everyone does it like that.
Okay.
And I think, why didn't the BBC just go fucking hire a Chinaman rather than have an Englishman talk like this?
First of all, how do you know that that guy wasn't the best actor available for that part?
Because he sounded like a fake Asian rather than an Asian. That's why he wasn't the best
Notice
actor.
Notice that to this day you remember his performance.
I remember him making fun of an Asian. That's what I remember.
No, he wasn't making fun of... No. Hey, remember when he's on stage? He gets the doctor to be his assistant. He puts him in, the cabinet and sticks swords through it. Except the doctor, blatantly walks out of the cabinet. And everybody sees him walking out of the cabinet. And he's... The dude's the bird has flown. One of us... is yellow. What?
That was racist.
No, that wasn't racist. Well, the doctor wasn't a racist. Remember, he asked the Chinese guy, are you Chinese? I mean, calling the doctor a racist. How dare you?
I think the producers were racist. I think, make an effort, put an ad in the paper. Chinaman wanted. I don't know. That's just me.
Nah, that was one of the best Who stories. I can't picture any other actor
despite that racism, yes, that was a very good story.
Well, there was no racism, really, but...
Oh, come on. You know what? That's bullshit. That's like putting a beard on a Klingon and pretending he's a Klingon. We all know Klingons have bumps. So, you know what? You put a beard on a white man, he's still a white man with a beard. Sorry.
They went through the trouble of taping his eyes back... And you're totally ignoring that.
I think I saw... I think I... Never mind.
By the way, they did that...
Let me just stop now.
Yeah, because your beloved original Star Trek did that taping eye back shit. So, stop it. Didn't Captain Kirk become amnesiac and marry a woman whose eyes were taped back?
You mean Miramani? The Indian chick?
I mean, wasn't she one of the chicks on Star Trek they did that to?
I don't know. I don't think so. She was hot, though. I don't think they needed to make her Asian. But you know what? You could be right. She's just plain hot.
Oh.
She was one of the best-looking chicks on Star Trek. So, of course, she had to die.
Yvonne Craig was hotter. And she was green.
The Yvonne Craig, the dancing slave girl that blew herself up on the outside?
Yeah, because she was crazy, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway.
You know what's funny about that season?
Everything.
You know what's funny about the writers had basically given up on season 3? I think Kirk fucked her anyway.
So did the viewers.
I think Kirk knew she was nutty, and I think he fucked her anyway. I think his morals, went, the tighter that girdle went, out went the, never mind.
Mm.
I don't you remember? I do think he fucked her, I swear to God. Did she run right over the set? From she was Batgirl, right? She took off her Batgirl outfit and she ran right over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Painted herself green. Oh, and I did read there are Orion slave girls in the new movie for the fanboys that like their green women. I'm not a big fan of the Orion slave girls. I just like She-Hulk. Go figure. And this has nothing to do with the comic. I just felt like going off on my own tangent. As long as I can stay on this panel with these guys brutally attacking Beverly, I don't want to leave the panel. So I'm kind of hovering around here.
Okay, so you are admitting that rape scenes are titillating.
I am admitting nothing. I'm just enjoying this particular scene.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Good artist.
Good artist, but not great artist.
No, not great. And you told me that the other guy was better for Howard the Duck. You'll have to show me some more of his shit.
Yeah, yeah. Buscema is good, though. He's mostly known for really long runs on The Avengers and on Conan. But, in fact, he literally wrote How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way.
Oh, okay.
There was actually a book, and he was the one who wrote it. So, yeah. What was I going to... Oh, yeah, yeah. The taping of the eyes back nonsense. Reminded me, I don't know if you saw this, Carnival, what's that, Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay, apparently they have a theme every year, and this year's theme was like immigration to Brazil or something, and there's like a beauty queen or some such. She actually had cosmetic surgery on her eyes to give them an Asian slant, just because of this particular year's carnival that she was going to be, like, part of or whatever.
That's sick.
That was
but coming.
That was also her, like, 30-somethingth plastic surgery anyway.
There are people that are addicted to that shit, and that's a whole – this is some sexual pieces to that. There's some people that just are addicted to plastic surgery, which is a sickness.
That is very strange.
But we talked about this, I think, on Batman Beyond.
Oh, hey,
Kanye
West's mom.
I think on Batman Beyond, I think that we're turning people into animals, mutants. And I think I told you that as soon as we can do that shit, I bet you we will do that shit because people are fucked up.
Well, yeah, people get tattoos. They don't care.
First genetic engineering keeps pets as kittens and puppies because people love the smaller the better. You know.
Oh, wait. Take
so now we're going to do it to humans, too. Humans are going to be cuter. They're going to have fur. They're going to have, like, fur
no,
line.
No. You don't even have to.
Pussy's studded cock. Sorry.
You don't even have to go to the animal thing. Imagine a future where, like, parents have, like, a cute little girl and she's, like, 3. And they, like, have her injected with something that makes her look 3 years old forever. That way they always have a cute little girl daughter, even when she's an adult.
That way you don't have to kill her like they did with JonBenet Ramsey.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Just imagine, like, because her parents killed her, right? I mean, they did not, but they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Then exploited her death to make money.
How old was she when she died?
I don't know, 7, 8, 6.
Because I was thinking, like, okay. No. Like, right before her father killed her. And by the way, for legal purposes, I'm just kidding that he did that. And right before he killed her, he undoubtedly raped her. And I'm thinking, wow, as tight as that 7-year-old cooch must be.
Okay, so the next panel. Wow, what a great book this is, and I'm so happy that we're honoring Steve Gerber, and Steve Gerber meant so much to you.
You know what? Yes, yes.
Years, and he clearly has turned you into a great guy. Steve Gerber would never talk about raping a 7-year-old girl, so let's not either.
How do you know he wouldn't?
Let's just I am imbued with the power of Steve Gerber for the purposes of this
comic. Oh, no, you don't. Steve Gerber would want me to speak my mind.
Steve Gerber would – there are times when things in the mind do not need to be spoken.
That is something that Gerber would not say. That's something a censor would say.
Oh, no. I'm not censoring you. I suggest you censor yourself.
Why would you suggest a horrible thing like that?
All right,
so anyway, yeah, as tight as her pussy must have been when she was 7 right before he killed her. Imagine,
by the power of Podon, I can only do this once. I was told I could do this one time. By the power of Podon, I command you to move on.
Okay, see, if you read,
once.
if you
once,
If
just
you,
once. I won't let you. Nope.
If you read Timmy Thum's Secret Origin of Podon on the blog.
God damn it.
You know that by invoking the name of Podon and calling upon his power.
Yeah, what happens?
You now have the combined strength of Michael Jackson and Woody Allen, which means that you now have half the strength you did before you called upon Podon.
Fuck!
And since I am now more powerful than you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I was thinking, like, after you kill JonBenet, well, then her pussy really would be tight because she'd start to get the rigor mortis. Because, what?
Sorry, I'm suffering from since I
can't. Why?
I'm suffering power of last operation.
I'm just talking about.
You know what's really funny?
The fuckability of dead JonBenet.
What's really funny is I'm trying to get you off of pedophilia, yet now I have the powers of both Woody Allen and Michael Jackson, who are both pedophiles. So fuck you. Fuck this whole podcast. Move on.
Why'd you?
So he's approaching this old wise. Asian stereotype.
Yes, who's just it. By the way, would it be more offensive if the sensei character was white?
Well, then he wouldn't be a sensei.
But if he was a sensei, would that be offensive?
I don't know at this point. Yes, it would be offensive if a white man called himself a sensei.
So nobody could be a sensei. If an Asian guy is a sensei, it's offensive because he's a stereotype, but if a white guy's a sensei, it's offensive because he's white.
Right. How dare a white man pretend to be a sensei?
So you could never have a sensei in
the only time it would be politically correct is if you had an Asian writer, an Asian artist, and this were manga and were written backwards.
But yeah, that's all I was talking about was that you have to admit, okay, you're horny, laying before you is naked.
Sensei?
No, is naked dead JonBenet. Tell me. You just – and nobody – okay. If I could promise you, nobody will ever know that you fucked her. Would you fuck her?
Are you kidding me? How old is she?
Seven.
No.
Seven?
They've been monitoring you since you first bought this comic.
Since I first bought this actual physical comic? Because
yes,
that would be in 1976.
Yes. They've been monitoring you this whole time. So it turns out your paranoia has been justified. Anybody that buys this sort of comic is monitored and suspect because you're clearly subversive. You're going to overthrow the government when you're an adult. So they had to stop you.
Wow. So they've been tracking me. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I hope they enjoyed my 911 episodes.
I know I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. You're lying because off the air you admitted that that first one was entertaining.
Who said that?
You did. I said you have to admit it's entertaining, and you did admit that. And I said now admit it was good and that you liked it, and you wouldn't. You're like, I gotta go. So
good for me. Okay, all right, good for me for taking the weaselly way out. I was entertained, but also appalled.
Well, yeah, as opposed to the dead of 911, I do mourn Steve Gerber. You know, he did a lot more good for the world with these comics than
now, F the people in the 911 towers. Suppose Steve Gerber had been there.
Then that would be different.
Just check it.
I would mourn his death, and I still would give a shit about everybody else.
Oh.
So, yeah, fuck the victims of 911.
Oh.
Here we are back in the comic, and
if I call on Podon again, I'll just get weaker, right?
Yes. Oh. You will gain the strength of two famous pedophiles.
Okay.
And I like Woody Allen, but he is a pedophile.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Oh, Soon Yi has a flat face. What the fuck is he thinking?
That is, I don't understand. If you're gonna go, if you're gonna piss everybody off, and he found the
homeless
worst example of yeah.
Whew. Mm. Yeah.
I do like I like the bit that Howard Stern does with the Wood Yi and all that stuff. That was all good.
Yeah, that is good actually.
Yeah, that was all good. So here we are. He's got
Howard has Count Macho's medallion.
Right. And I like the fact that the Macho medallion, can be yours after you graduate for $5.50 or some shit like that.
I fear he was one of my own students.
I knew this was coming.
We offer that charm for only $5.98 to all our graduates. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, what's a funny price?
$5.98.
There is actually something funny about that. I don't know what. $5.98 is funny.
Because it makes it cheap.
Well, and it's not even $5.99. It's $5.98.
Right.
And yeah, the sensei's like, oh man, this dude is one of my students, and he's turned my teachings around into like some bullshit. Like, I don't preach to beat people up. So you know what, Howard the Duck? Yeah, we're gonna teach him a lesson and shit. And now I will teach you like the ways of kung fu. And he's teaching Howard lesson one here. Behold. Oh, go ahead.
A butterfly, or what would you rather be? A caterpillar or a butterfly?
A live caterpillar.
Or a dead butterfly.
Yeah. And Howard's like, a caterpillar, Natch. It's still breathing. Wrong. The caterpillar is two metamorphoses behind the butterfly on the path to eternal life.
Now that's all bullshit.
Which is why Howard's like, huh? Gerber knows this is bullshit.
And now he's got the hand over the
candle. Yeah.
It's
like, why does the flesh not melt from my hand? Either you do it with mirrors or you're tougher than you look. Wrong. It is because I will it thus. Huh?
You know what?
He's all perplexed. Look at him.
I have to say this one thing. Both your voice of Howard the Duck and your sensei, not so bad.
Yeah, we should do an audio drama of this book.
The next podcast. To honor Steve Gerber.
Oh, Howard.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the montage. What's really happening?
There always has to be a montage.
What's really funny is that to learn kung fu, it takes years of training and everything. How long does he do it here? What, 3 fucking hours?
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of South Park when they had that one episode. We need a montage. Or was that Team America?
That was Team America.
Okay.
The puppets.
They've got a one-panel montage.
They had to turn him into some Arab and like, I don't know, we've only got an hour to do it or days to do it. I think they just put bushy shit in his hair. I think that was what it was.
Team America.
Power.
Okay, here's my complaint, if I didn't say this at some point already, about Team America. Okay, they gently picked on Bush and the Republicans, and they brutally attacked the left.
The
Michael Moore stuff alone.
I like Michael Moore, but come on, he is a little full of himself.
Well, anybody who's right is allowed to be.
Is that the thing where he's like shoving hot dogs into his face? And
he had mustard on his shirt, yeah.
that was funny. But in the end, with all the liberals attacking, all the pompous-ass liberals, I'm Alec Baldwin. Don't fuck with me, I'm Alec Baldwin. Yeah, come on.
Okay, you know what was good out of all that?
A lot. What?
Your acting powers are fading with age, Miss Sarandon.
That was good. Cruel.
Yeah, it's hard to look at Rocky Horror and look at that hot chick and be like, wow. Wow. She is going to grow up to become that hideous hag, Susan Sarandon.
P.S. That's as young as I like him. She was hot in that one scene with Rocky, basically just holding her. She's like grabbing Rocky's.
Oh, yeah. When she was singing Touch a Touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. It's like, that's a fucking hot scene for a kid.
You used to not even want to watch that movie. Like, what eventually convinced you to give that a screening there?
I was disturbed greatly by the transvestite nature of the movie.
But it's all played for laughs. You're supposed to like think it's funny, which it is.
Yeah, I'm fine with it now.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're out of here. Tune in next week for the thrilling conclusion to this two-part Howard the Duck review. Quack.
Apples and oranges, apples and oranges, high in the tree. I'll pick some for me. Apples and oranges,
apples.
Orange and red hang high.
oranges, apples, oranges, reach hard above and pick them. Oranges, pick them for me.